Judges chapter 16. A magnificent strength. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all the night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with him, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and he carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight again for your precious word, for the account of saints, Father, lives that we just can't comprehend. But Father, you've shared their stories with us and given us instruction to learn. And tonight I pray that you'd help us as we seek to see your Son, the Lord Jesus, as you've given him to us, Father, in your majesty. Father, I pray for needs upon hearts. Give us open ears and open minds, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 16 starts with the account of Samson as he goes into Gaza. He comes out. He stays till midnight. He starts out of the city and he tears the entire city gate out of the frame, puts it up on his shoulders, and walks away with it to the top of the hill and sets it down. Story begins to get around when you come to verse 4, and it came to pass afterward. He goes down to Sorek, and there he meets Delilah. And immediately the men come to her and said, here's what we want you to do. Notice this. This kind of struck me as I was reading verse 5. They said unto her, entice him. Where did we start off? In chapter 14, the men went to the woman and said, you know, you find out. Here again, the world, the devil is always enticing us. And so it says, entice us, entice him, and find out where his strength lieth. Isn't that one of the greatest mysteries of Samson? First would be his character, his personality. But everybody thinks of Samson, what is his strength? So I want to give you some things, kind of an off-the-cuff type thing, but the secret of his strength. The secret of his strength. Now, we talked about who Samson was, but notice, first of all, his appearance. What did Samson look like? We talked about this a few weeks ago. Was he this big hulk of a guy? Or was he average, maybe less than average? And so you kind of have to turn your mind. Now, I was thinking about this coming over here. When I share things with you, a lot of things, you're going to look at me like I have lost my mind. And you may be partially correct, but I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I do want you to think, because in church life, I've learned that we as Christians, we sit in church and the preachers preach, and we just take it and go with it. We don't think it through. Just like Samson, we've got this picture, we see it in the Sunday school material and movies and all of this. Here's this great big hulking guy, and we just take it and go with it. And so sometimes we need that face-to-face to make a stop and back up and say, hmm, never thought of it like that. What is the secret of his strength? Well, first of all, his appearance. We talked about his size, but Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 3. Isaiah writes, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." Let me ask you something. What did Jesus look like? Now, this one kind of hit me hard when I first got into this. We've all seen the pictures of Jesus. Is that kind of the pictures you see? Is that kind of the image you got in your head? What if I said Jesus was maybe about 5'2", kind of on the pudgy side, partially balding at 30 years of age? Would you find that kind of brings a lump in your throat? Preachers up here, that's not what we picture, is it? We picture this strong young man as the pictures have him and everything. But Isaiah said, there's nothing about him that appeals to us. Here in his Samson, we've got this image, but then Jesus, when Judas betrayed him, they said, "You betray him with a kiss. You kiss him so we'll know which one he is." He wasn't a guy that stood out. He wasn't somebody that just, you know, when he walked down the street, people would flock to him. They flocked to him for what he was doing. But his appearance. And I'll be honest with you, when I began to first kick this thought around, here's Jesus, 5'2", a little pudgy, and, you know, maybe balding, or, you know, I found it offensive. I really did. And I'm telling you that because I want you to stop and think about it. We are put in a mold and we think just like we think. And we don't stop and weigh it out. They looked at Samson. What is the secret of your strength? Not only his appearance, but number two, his authority. Luke chapter 4, verse 36, Mark chapter 1, verse 27. We're not going to take the time and go through and read all of these. But in both texts, Jesus cast out the demons. And they asked the question, by what authority do you do this? Who's giving you the right? Who's giving you the authority? Samson, who gave you the authority to tear down the city gate? Who gives you the authority to come into our land and to destroy our people and destroy our crops? What right do you have? Friend, listen. The world today looks at Jesus and says, what right? I remember years ago I was preaching on the home, and I was preaching about the husband and the wife, and the man is the head of the house. And when church was over, this lady met me at the front of the pew, and she got her finger in my face, and she said, I'll tell you something right now. There ain't no man on the face of the earth going to tell me what to do. And I said, I'm sorry. Your problem is not with me. Your problem is with God. What authority? Samson's in their cities, wrecking havoc, and they say, what is he doing? Why did they go to Delilah? Find out what his strength is, that we may bind him to afflict him. They were going after him. They wanted to take care of Samson. the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priesthood, all of these, they wanted Jesus. What authority do you have to do this? But not only that, thirdly, his ability, Matthew chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, where Jesus calms the storm. They go to him, and Master, care not that we perish. And he stands up and he says to the winds and the waves, be still, and the storm stops. And they look at one another and said, what kind of man is this? What kind of man is this that has the authority to command the elements, has the ability to command the elements? And look at him, he's nothing. He's nothing. There's nothing about him. Christianity today is one of the most popular marketing elements in business. Marketing elements. Music, artwork, books, whatever. And what do we put it together in this very pretty package. But we do not see who Jesus really is. We question the secret of his strength. Who is Jesus that comes into your household and rearranges? I think about Brother Darrell telling about his dad. When his dad got saved, and I've heard him tell it several times, he said, my dad so changed. He said, I kept watching him. This ain't real. What kind of authority, what kind of ability does somebody have to do this, to come in and change my life? Samson, what right do you have to come in and wreck the city? Not only is there the secret of his strength, but there is the show of his strength. Verses 1 through 3. He comes in. He lays till midnight. Verse 3. He took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all. Put them upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. The show of his strength. Samson didn't talk about what he could do. Samson done it. Your testimony, you should not have to go about telling people what a Christian you are. They ought to be able to stand back and watch you and know. I think about Mr. Garl, and he worked with Anita for years, and there was a lady come in one day and got mad at him about something he had done, and she just got all up in his face, and she said, and you always going around talking about being a Christian. And he said, well, wait a minute. I never told you I was a Christian. Friend, you should not have to tell your testimony. Let your life show it. Be different. What was the show of his strength? First of all, there was the gates. It says he took the city gate. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And what? The gates of hell shall not prevail. The gates of hell shall not prevail. When Jesus shows his strength, Satan, all the forces of hell, the nature of sin within us, has no power when it comes to Jesus. But notice this. Here's the one we miss. We see the guards, but what you do not see in verse number 3 is the guard. What it says, verse 2, they compassed him in and laid wait for him all the night in the gate of the city. So when Samson went to get that gate, he didn't just walk out into a deserted street. Here's the guard. They're waiting. They're ready for him. So, what happened? When they buried Jesus, what did they do? Matthew says, and they set a watch. they set a watch. It's one thing to tear down the city gate, but it's something else to go in and tear down the city gate while the guard to protect the gate is standing there watching when they come to arrest Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. I'm he. What happened? They fell back. This guard. The show. Listen. Jesus shows his power. But it's not a flashy type of show. Now, I've done this. You will not admit it, but you've done it too. Man, you're going to do something. You got this talent. And you're going to do something to show off. What happens? It always backfires, don't it? It always backfires. Man, you watch this, and you get up looking like a clown. Listen, Jesus never went about to make a show. How many times in the Gospels did he steal away in the darkness? Did he just walk away from the crowd? He didn't have to make a show. He had that strength. He had that power. He had that testimony. It was the gates that he walked away with, but it was the guard that he overtook. But then notice, thirdly, the garrison. The garrison. I do not think there was one guard at the gate. It says they laid wait for him. There was a garrison. How many times the crowd come to take Jesus? Listen, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Jesus, when he died on the cross, he didn't just succumb to death. Lee Strobel, I believe it was, in his book, The Case for Christ, he said, "I was going to prove that Jesus was a fake." And he said, "I started researching," and he said, "You know what I learned? People, physicians, were not amazed that Jesus rose from the dead as much as they were amazed that he lived long enough to make it to Calvary. They said there is no way that he should have made it. Between the beatings, the lack of rest, the lack of food, drink, said he should have dehydrated and collapsed before he ever got to Calvary. The Gospels tell us that he fell under the weight of the cross. And they bid one, Simon of Cyrene, to carry it. They said he should have never lived. Why? Because Satan's pushing, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. He says, yes, I can. Yes, I can. They put him on the cross. They crucified him. A death of suffocation. I like the way the pastor shared it with us when he was talking about the crucifixion. When everything is done, he cries with a loud voice, "It is finished. It is finished." You go through there, it tells us in one of the Gospels, I can't remember right off, just thought about it. When everything is complete, he said, "I thirst." We take that insignificant. Preacher Roy brought out a message. He said, "Jesus scanned the portals of the Word of God, and there's a little verse in Psalms that says, 'I thirst.'" And Jesus scanned the record of time, and he said, "I thirst. It's finished." And what did he do? He showed the whole creation that hell couldn't stop him. Psalm 22, the bulls of Bashan, all the demons of hell, the darkness, the darkness is a real darkness, wicked darkness. And I don't think it just when it says the world was dark is because the sun went behind the clouds. I think the forces of hell moved in so strong that it blocked out the light. And they're all there doing one thing. They had one task. Kill Jesus before he can complete the job. They were after him. And Colossians says he made a show of them openly. When Samson took that city gate, he took it away from the guard. He took it away from the garrison. He rips it out of the city wall, walks up on top of the hill and sets it down. And in verse 4, everybody around knows what he done. What kind of strength, what kind of man is this that has such capabilities, and what will it take to stop him? There's not just the secret of his strength and the show of his strength, but there's the supplication of his strength. Judges chapter 16, verse 28. We was talking about this, and someone told me, well, Samson was just all self-focused because he said at the end of verse 28 that I may avenge for my two eyes. It wasn't anything about glorifying God or anything. He said, I want to get even for them putting my eyes out. Well, listen. Verse 28, and Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged to the Philistines for my two eyes. Here's Samson. He's already been humiliated. He's been put in the prison house, blinded, forced to pull the grinding wheel to grind the grain. I think daily the people come by to make fun and mock at him. And just like us, there comes times in our lives that we just want to stop and say, Lord, I just want to ask one thing. Just one thing. And Samson, seeing the situation he was in, he said, Lord, I want you to remember just one thing. What was the supplication? Number one, for the work of God. For the work of God. If you go back and you look through the life of Samson, it says in the beginning that God was using him as a tool for an occasion against the Philistines. We look at lives, and we see people that we think are failures. Think about a young man. When he was 19 years old, he was in a car wreck. In that car wreck, he had major head injuries. And he went into a nursing facility. He could not take care of himself. He could not talk. He could not do anything. He was bedridden. He laid there till he was about 41 years old. And you look at that life and you say, what use? And his stepdad come and got me one day and he said, I want you to go to the nursing home and I want you to talk to my stepson. And I went and talked to him. And I shared with him the gospel. And I said, wouldn't you like to give your life to Christ? And he nodded he would. They had created a communication between him and the nurses. And he bowed his head and he asked the Lord to save him. 2 months later, he suddenly turned and passed away. You say, what a loss. No, that's the grace of God, that he would lay someone on the side all that time to bring them to the point of salvation. Lord, just one time, would you use me? Would you use me? John 17, verse 1. And I was thinking about this yesterday or today. These are really the two prayers that Jesus prayed before he died. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus said, Father, this is it. This is it. This is the whole sum of why I came into the world. And now, Father, can I change? Would you strengthen me? Would you remember me to help me finish what I came to do? Not only did he come for the work of God, he came for the will of God. Luke 22. Luke 22 and verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, was come to the disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. That last supplication was for the will of God. Not my will. Thy will be done. Delilah, what makes this man so different from every other man that we've ever seen? And what will it take to stop him? We don't understand him. It was in his strength, his authority, his ability. It was the show between the gates and the garrisons of hell. All of hell tried to stop him. And when it came right down to the finish, what did he say? Lord, I want to do your will. And I will do your work and glorify you. And with that, he died. A magnificent strength. Listen, I've tried to get this picture through you. I've laughed with some of y'all, and, you know, if you don't have what's a mess that I've got up here, the imagination, I could tell you stories. My mama threatened to kill me one day. Listen, you may not see this like I see it, and that's okay. And you might get shook up by some of the things I say, and that's okay. But when we finish up next week, I want you to be able to stop and get out of your box and look at Jesus Christ in a whole new way. Why is Samson my hero? Because every time I see Samson, I see a man that was so hated by us Get him in the right category. We godly people don't like a man like that. Well, turn that coin over and you will find that lost sinners, loving in their sin, they don't like a man like Jesus. But when I look at him, I see the one that died for me, who's so despised of men. Nothing about him that is appealing. And yet he loved me enough to come and die on a cross and fight the devil in hell for me and for you. And when I see Samson, I see that love for me. And that's why he's my hero. You decide who he is for you. You don't have to agree with me. You're going to look at me and just shake your head. I let people talk about, you know, passing away and going to heaven. I said, well, I'm not worried about that. And they said, you're not. I said, no. I said, every time God looks down and he sees me, he just shakes his head. He says, I am not ready for that. Listen. This is a picture. Modern art. You see these pictures of modern art and they say, oh, this is so-and-so. And you look at it and you go, okay. This only comes through the heart and what you see. Let's bow in prayer.